It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 688. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Can leave me a voicemail on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. The show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link at my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. You can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. I have several logins that I have to do tonight, right after I'm recording this show a little earlier on Thursday night, because I have some work. Thank God I have unattended access to perform all of my work. Have some stories from the trenches, an idea of a way to increase your customer base. I might have mentioned this in the past a while ago, but I've actually put it into action this Tuesday night, and I'm going to talk about that. Also, some emails being blocked by a client sending them out and to their clients, and they're going into their spam and just figured out what's going on today. I'll share that. This has happened before to other clients. And then a couple emails. So let's get started. Monday, my phone was blowing up early Monday morning. And when I say early, to me, early is 8 a.m. because I don't turn off my do not disturb until 9 a.m. Try to keep normal hours as best I can. The phone at 9 a.m., it started rattling. I thought it was just going to go right off the nightstand. My iPhone, it was buzzing and beeping. And oh, man, biggest clients first. I have two different clients, and now I figured there's a Comcast outage. I have them rebooting their Comcast routers. These are two clients right off the bat. Another client has absolutely no internet, and they had a power outage and that they walked into. But now all the desktops are up, but they can't get to the server. They can't get to the internet. I'm going to call them back. And then just another client that their machine won't boot. And then there's a lot of other little things. So good news, the clients that rebooted the routers, the Comcast routers, they're up and running. Comcast must have had some kind of an issue Sunday night or early Monday morning. I didn't read anything or see anything, but a reboot of the router seemed to fix the problem. Now, the client with no power, my son was on his way to a client right near them. I diverted him because that wasn't an emergency. I diverted him to this property management company, and they had their main UPS totally fail. It would not start up. It just died. And everything connected to it was off. My son called me and I said, grab a surge strip. Just go into a wall outlet, get everything plugged in, and let's just get them up and running. And that's exactly what he did. Then he moved on to the other client. And then I sent them a link to get a UPS. We have a big project in a couple weeks. So I said, we can live without the UPS for a couple of weeks. When we're there, we're going to be shutting everything down and converting that server. So I'll put the new UPS in place. After he does the work that was scheduled, I divert him to the client that has the system that won't start. It is a refurbed Optiplex 990 that I sold them. And I said, Michael, come by and pick up the spare power supply that we have. We always keep one spare power supply, the Dell for the Dell 7010 and 990 Optiplexes. It's the same model power supply. I like keeping spare parts where I can. Not a lot. Don't like to stock them, but I had him pick up the spare power supply. The client gets that blinking amber light when he tries to turn it on, the Optiplex. This is definitely power supply. My son takes the power supply out, puts it in, no joy. I said, look, bring the system home. And we have his data, and he's on a domain, so he's got very little data on the system. I configure a 7010 that we have sitting here. I quickly put his data on that, send my son back to the client, and I remote in via instant house call, and I announce it to the domain, install his apps. He's up and running. They are happy. They are a retainer client. And any retainer client that purchases a refurb from me, whether I have my own warranty with the place that I purchased it or not, I personally warranty the system. So now I got this 990 sitting here. I said, I bet you it is the power supply. I just swore it's the power supply. I went on Amazon, bought another one. Only this time I paid a couple dollars more, and it is an original Dell power supply. We popped that in yesterday, and it fired right up. And so we just redid Windows 10, set it all up for another refurb to be able to sell. Our spare power supply was bad. We threw that away, threw the original power supply that was in the system. Just keep that in mind, that your test equipment could be bad, or the component that you are replacing could be bad, which leads me, and I know I talked about this in the past, I bought one of the testers, and for the life of me, I cannot find it around our office. What do you do to test power supplies for PCs? I would love to know what your favorite power supply testing equipment, what test gear do you recommend? And I will mention that on an upcoming show. So I would like to know what you do. I hate doing it trial and error like that, but just by putting a whole nother power supply in, but it did work. Tuesday night, I presented to a homeowners association right after their board meeting. I did a security presentation where I have 11 security tips that I've posted up in the show a while back as a PDF. And those tips are still very, very current. And this is an over 55 community, upscale, in a nice area. I happen to know the property manager. There's a long story on how we met, but having the property management company that I am now doing work for five of these different homeowners associations, I asked to get in front of them. There were 50 homeowners as a captive audience for me for a half hour, where they got to meet my son and I. I gave them a handout. I had some swag for them, which is the little hand sanitizers with our logo on them. And the one I'm showing is kind of squeezed a little bit. It went great, but I'm going to review the number one item for security. And this is, do not answer the phone. Have your landline, your main phone number, if you still have one in your house, have it go to the least amount of rings directly to voicemail. If my phone rings here, it does two rings and it goes right to voicemail. I screen every call. Now, the phone I have will announce or try to pronounce who's calling. If I really recognize the name, I may answer it. But you want to know something? I usually don't. I let it go to voicemail. And if I think I'm interested, I will go play the voicemail back. And the voicemail's in the Verizon cloud. This prevents answering questions, getting sucked in, and listening to someone. The stories that I have are just bone-chilling, horrible. I'm going to talk about two of them. One really bad, where this was a client of a client, a financial advisor, their client, their credit cards were compromised. The phone call, they pretended to be the IRS. The person gave them their credit card for paying the bill. The same person called back the next day and said, that did not go through. Do you have another credit card? Well, it did go through. They did compromise the card, and the person gave them a second credit card, which they also compromised. Can't make this up. Saturday, I get a phone call from a client. He's done this 5 times, and he just is incapable of learning after he's been compromised. He received a text message that it was Apple saying his Apple ID was compromised and to please call this 800 number. So he was scared. He called the 800 number. Now, he didn't put two and two together. If his Apple ID is compromised, why do they want to remote into his Windows PC? So that was a problem. And then why did they need to log into his wife's laptop? And he also got them connected to that, and they put bad things on the systems. And that was something else on Monday. My son spent hours cleaning up those systems. My biggest security tip, don't answer the phone. You cannot believe anyone. What this leads to, getting more business. You can easily put your own tips together just from listening to this show, just from your own common sense. Put a list of tips together. Put your logo on top. Put your phone number and your contact info and get in front of these homeowners associations. So now we got 50 new potential clients. I had them eating out of the palms of my hand. We had a great discussion. They had all kinds of different little security questions and locking their devices down and what to do. It was a great discussion. We went through the 11 tips in a half hour, and now I am a trusted person for them to call when they need help. And I don't mind doing residential if I'm billing at my regular business rate. What do I care what system I'm working on, whether it's a home or it's an office? The bread and butter of my income is small businesses, but there's been an uptick of, I would say, affluent residential clients, which I have no problem helping out with their networks at their house and securing their systems. This one sheet that I've put together, I am going to keep using with getting in front of groups of people. So that's the key. Get with property management companies and start saying they're going to, for free, you're going to present. And they're going to love it because they're bringing some extra value add to the homeowners. The board will love it. These are things that you need to do to get in front of groups of people to possibly increase your business. Is it going to work for everybody? No. Is it going to work for me? Don't know. I think it will. And I do enough of these presentations, it definitely is going to hit. And I'm always looking for creative ways to grow my business. Right before I went live tonight, had a conversation with a client that all of a sudden their emails are being caught it as spam that hasn't happened before. And what I started doing was taking their domain, went to MX Toolbox, and I looked, and they were not on any blacklists for the domain. But now I had the client, I said, go to ipchicken.com, and that gives you what the public IP address is. I put the IP address in the MX Toolbox blacklist checker, and it's on a couple blacklists. I said, you got to call Verizon and get a static IP address. This has happened before with other clients that did not have a static IP. If you are dynamic with your business, you are lumped in groups of IP. And if you're sending email from your email client and that IP address is part of a group that is identified as spam, your email is going to get filtered and it's not going to get through. So the big clients, I told her to call and get on their and get whitelisted for their email. And then now go about getting a static IP. I know I'll be involved when they get that ordered and cut that over. It should be easy. They only have like three workstations, very small network, but a real server and domain controller. And I should be able to clean this up hopefully next week. But just keep that in mind, and I will have links to MX Toolbox and also the Blacklist Checker. That's something to go to right away to confirm whether they're on any blacklists. Let's get to some email. This first one's from Will. Wired printer problem. Hi, Mike. I have been battling a very weird printer issue for a couple of days. I'm at the point I don't know what else to do other than a nuke and pave. I really don't want to do this since the client isn't experiencing any other issues with her laptop. The background. Client is running an ASUS Win 10 64-bit build 1809 operating system. She has an Epson WF2630 printer that worked fine with the laptop until recently. When the printer issue initially started, it displayed a status message, driver is unavailable. I uninstalled the printer software, downloaded a fresh copy from Epson's website. It will not install the printer driver. The error message is operation could not be completed. Error, and it has a long error code. There are no more files. The printer is connected to the client's wireless network, and she has no issues printing from her iPhone. The printer installation software also sees the printer on the network, but the driver refuses to install. What I have done, I verified that the print spool service is running and is set to start automatically. I have done an in-place reinstall of the operating system. I also verified all updates have been installed. I have disabled real-time protection of Windows Defender and Malwarebytes. I ran tweaking.com's Windows Repair all-in-one software. I attempted to install the printer software again with the same result. I have searched for answers on the internet but have not found the same ideas that I've already done. Any ideas or suggestions are greatly appreciated. One thing when I run into a printer problem, especially the spooler, even if the spooler is started, you got to stop the spooler service and go to the spool, drivers, Etsy spool, printer. I'm going to have a link to the exact location. I can't off the top of my head. I've actually created a batch file that does this. Delete anything in that directory. Sometimes print jobs get caught, and there's a PDF occasionally that I have this one attorney that often the certain PDFs from a certain court system gets jammed up and kills his print spooler. And I have this batch file that stops the service, goes to that directory, deletes the contents, restarts the spooler service, and his problem is fixed. So there's a nice little fix to try. I don't know if that is the problem. Now, with Windows 10, and actually a Windows 7, when I have trouble installing software, what is your UAC setup? Turn it off. Also, right-click and run as administrator the actual setup. Even though you are a local administrator, I have had success on running that. Another thing to try, and I know this is crazy, the actual install that you're installing, run it in compatibility mode as Windows 7, just to see. Just some things outside the box to try to see if that fixes it rather than nuke and pave. Because wouldn't it be terrible if you nuke and pave and you still are back at square one? When I have a driver problem, I sometimes go back a version for the driver. Maybe there's a problem with the new driver. Is there still a Windows 10 driver that you're able to download from Epson that might be a slightly older version that you might have success with. And I bet you it was a Windows update that just chomped all over the driver. Can you go in to the printer driver and roll back? Is there an older version to check, that's something else to check, to roll back the driver? So I just laid out a bunch of things to try. Will, let me know how you made out. This is from Pat. An SSD in an older computer, problems and solutions. Mike, I have a Lenovo desktop purchased late 2011 with an i7-3770. Installed an Intel SSD November 2013. It now has over 30,000 hours. And that is the mark that a replacement is suggested. So, with great reviews, I ordered the Crucial MX500 from Amazon, with your link, of course. Thank you very much. Cloned with Easus To Do, and it booted right away, and even QuickBooks worked. That's odd that you didn't have to use the QuickBooks fix. Within 10 minutes, the system locked up. Reboot brought on the blue restore screen, and no options helped. I swapped SATA ports, and it did reboot again, but locked within 10 minutes. It was a process to revive the system. Multiple calls to Crucial, with the first useless advice suggesting I should use their Acronis software to clone. Of course, that did nothing different. Another wiser tech had me check the SATA driver, and it was the old one. We switched to the SATA standard, and I thought this would be the magic. No luck. Same problem. Fortunately, Amazon let me return it. Yeah, Amazon return policy is phenomenal. The solution, install another Intel drive, seemed to work before. I am typing this note to you after 5 straight hours of perfect operation. I wanted to share with you, as I read up on the problem, and there are many solutions online and none that were checking the SATA driver and then trying a different one, which is not always an option. Hope it may help others as they keep their old computers chugging along with upgrades. Longtime listener Pat, thank you so much for listening, using my Amazon link and sharing your story. I've had great success with cloning drives. I use Acronis exclusively, and I've been very, very fortunate. I've had very few SSD failures, and I've sort of standardized on Samsung. I love my Samsung SSDs. And then there's the SP, the Silicon Power, I think, that are so inexpensive but very reliable, and I haven't had any fail yet. And I've, you know, knock wood, I've had them going for about a year now. It's been doing really, really well. So I'm not a Crucial fan on, and I'm not an OCX fan, because I've had failures, and I've had those blue and white OCX drives fail. The ARC 100s, they will fail after a very short period of time. Pat, thanks for writing in. This is final email from Chris. I think this would be a great show topic. I was going to suggest an edge router to someone for a small computer lab and a few access points so they can segment the network. It would not be more than 1 or 2 access points and a small 8-port switch. I'm sure more in the future. The building is very small, less than 1,000 square feet, maybe 10, 15 people at most. The guy helping them seems to want a lot more. A topology diagram for an 8-port switch and 1 or 2 access points? You know what? I'm going to comment right here. If they have a technology person that's asking for it, just give it to them. Yes. Is a topology diagram overkill for a network of this size? Yes, but you provide it anyway. Call Visio or something and knock out a drawing and take it from there. HIPAA compliant, ? They are not doing anything with medical records. That is correct. I know you're looking for an ally here, Chris. And I seem to be defending the person that's advising them. People use the word HIPAA compliant for security that is matching the HIPAA level. And they don't know any other way to describe it. They don't know that there's the word FINRA. So they're familiar with the word HIPAA. And if you're HIPAA compliant, therefore you must be secure. And I think that's what they're doing, even though they're not working with medical records. So what you do is you put a statement, and by the way, you should be paid for this proposal or these recommendations, and I hope you are. You put together the security that you're laying out, the firewall that you're recommending, and how that'll help with the perimeter. What are they going to use for anti-malware, anti-rootkit, anti-ransomware? What are you going to recommend for their workstations? And then any other security measures that you will lock down the access points for wireless. There will be a strong password. You will maybe not broadcast the SID. You know, there's lots of little things that you can put in a very elegant couple statements that makes them feel comfortable with the security. His third, number three here, I did not feel like asking that there be a firewall installed between the public-facing Google point of demarcation and the private side of the network was a big deal. I have not a clue what he is asking about all the UniFi routers support more than one subnet per port for network segmentation, or can it be done with VLANs? Yes, recommend VLANs. So now you've upped your switch to be a smarter switch that can handle VLANs. I love the HP ProCurbs, personally. You need a switch to support VLANs, and that will make it easy to segment the networks. So he actually put, I have the emails that have been going back and forth, and Chris, thank you for sharing this. If a client is asking, unless it's over the top ridiculous, which I don't think this is, comply. You want the business. It doesn't look like it's a hard network design and could lead to some nice support. So do what they ask. Put a firewall in place. You know, you can use an inexpensive untangle at the perimeter. You can put a sonic wall. There's lots of great options for inexpensive, secure firewalls that have software subscriptions that you want to also make sure that they're purchasing, because that's going to help protect them. Have a plan in place for locking down the desktops and securing the desktops. Recommend a patch management strategy that you'll log in once a month to keep an eye on them and to check out and make sure everything's being updated. There's lots of things you can do to still fulfill the requirements that they may be testing you to see how professional you are, how much knowledge you have, and that's okay. I've been there, done that. When it doesn't make sense or they're being given the wrong advice, and this has happened with a doctor's office where the main office manager was getting bad advice from someone who thought they knew IT and was recommending things. And I said, you don't need that. And when I put the cost in front of them, I said, this isn't helping you become any HIPAA compliant. There were things being recommended that were unnecessary. And once I laid it out for him in a way that he could understand, then it was okay. Okay, I got it. And we moved on. It may seem unreasonable, but comply, put it in front of them, everything that they're asking. And I'm sure that you'll get the business. Maybe there'll be some other questions as a pushback, and just answer them to the best of your ability. And if it wasn't meant to be, and they're being just crazy with some of their recommendations, then it wasn't meant to be. And you just move on to another client. Let me know how you made out, Chris. That is it for tonight's show. The best way to support the Mike Tech Show and my efforts, and also Carrie Holzman and what we do together with Tech Vets. Carrie Holzman's Amazon link is in the show notes of every episode of the Mike Tech Show and every episode of Tech Vets. Click on that link before your items you're going to add to your shopping cart. Come to the website, click on the link, add it to your shopping cart. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. And we really, really appreciate that. Fab's Auto Backup. Friday afternoon, we had two new systems we were putting in an insurance office. And they're old systems. We took out the hard drives, connected them up via USB 3. Fab's Auto Backup. Piece of cake transferring everything. They each of the systems had like about 18 gigs and it just went flawless. And Outlook just came right up with the signature and the already activated and the auto completes all set. It was easy. Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro, great piece of software. Remember, check out Instant House Call, kick the tires, try it out. Go to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. That's it for tonight's show, and hope to see you back here next week, same time, same channel. Well, a little later. Tonight's early. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.